Caleb King is graduating Northeast State. Sean McNabb graduating ETSU. And Tilly Irwin is graduating Milligan. So we just wanted to recognize you all this morning and thank you for the hard work, and the work's just beginning to begin. And but we appreciate you and so glad to have you. And give them a round of applause. They've worked hard. And you all can be seated. But we appreciate you so, so much. I know what made your day, getting to get up in front of everybody. And, instead of the choir this morning, Gary informed me that we had special singing, and we've got a couple that I think is going to come and share with us at this time. So, Calvin, Christy, if you all will come on.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll be in the book of Ecclesiastes. Being mainly in the 11th and 12th chapter, but I want to read a little bit out of the first chapter also. Let me read one verse this morning, but I want to go through several. If you would stand, Ecclesiastes 12. No, I'll read 2. 13 and 14. Let's read 1, 13 and 14. I'm changing my mind all the way. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for this wonderful congregation. Thank you for all of our young people that's here today. And God, we just pray and uplift our folks to you, the ones that's graduated and ones that's we just pray and uplift them, the ones that's stepping up another year in school, and Lord, to have a summer to enjoy. And Father, we just pray for our young people, Lord. We pray for this Bible school this evening. Pray, God, that you have an impact on their lives, and Lord, that they trust you and get a hold and get in early. And Father, we love you today and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just kind of jotted down words of wisdom, maybe the title of the message. I didn't put a lot of thought in it, thinking about this pastor, a new pastor asked his board to evaluate his sermon. And after he preached, he had lost his introduction card, so he didn't go his introduction. He jumped right into the message and he preached on and on and on. And when he had the meeting with the board, he said, "Now I know that I asked them about evaluating." He said, "Now I know I forgot my introduction." And the chairman of the deacon board said, "It wasn't an introduction we was worried about. It was you needed a conclusion." And I need a few of them sometimes, but. Thinking of Solomon, this was the conclusion of the book. He wrote 12 chapters here that's phenomenal advice, especially the young folks. And he said that, you know, in verse 13, he said this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, he had written a lot and he had said a lot of things, but he was tying it up. Let's go to chapter 1. I want to read verses 1 through 3. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now, I want us to remember this morning that who's writing this? And we all have heard of Solomon, but I want us to get in the grip of who it is that's given the advice, who it is that's given us words of wisdom. The wisest man that ever lived, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, but as far as human being, I think he's the wisest man that ever lived. So if somebody has really got it pegged, I kind of sit up and listen when they talk. Like, what's the old commercial? E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Now, you young folks won't know who E.F. Hutton is, maybe, but E.F. Hutton. So when Solomon speaks,
I think we ought to sit up and listen pretty good. I'm going to lean that right over there, Miss Wilma. If that's all I tear up, I'll be all right. Not only was he probably the wisest man that ever lived, he had no limits in the way that he could live his life. He asked God. God said, "What do you want? I'll give it to you." And he said, "I want wisdom. You've made me king over the people, and I want wisdom to lead the people." And God said, "Since you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. But not only that, I'm going to give you all the wealth and all the other things that come with it." Probably in his day was the heyday for Israel. It was phenomenal. People came far away to see his riches and his glory and his wisdom. There was no limit to the money that he had to spend. He had everything money could buy. In today's terminology, we think he's a Bill Gates and a Warren Buffett. I mean, his chariot looked a lot better than everybody else's. His home far outdone everybody else. His meals, his singers, his maids, his servants, he had the best that money could buy. There was no limit to what he had. I don't know what he thought he was going to gain. I'm going to try not to get in trouble, but he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I mean, that just tells you that there was nothing that he couldn't get if he wanted it. He had everything. And he starts the book out by saying, everything is useless. Everything is meaningless. He's once had everything. And he said, it don't matter about that stuff. Wow. And that's who's speaking to us this morning. If you'll turn with me to chapter 11. At verse 8, the Bible said, "But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity." Now, the book of Ecclesiastes will really get you downhearted if you're not careful. I mean, he's got some bleak things in it, but it's words of wisdom to lead you to the goal of it. When he comes down to the end, no matter how long you live and no matter what you have acquired, it's meaningless, is what he said. It comes down to it. I'll elaborate a little on this verse a little bit later. But I think he's saying enjoy life. In verse 9 that he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." You know what I'm afraid of this day and time? That our young people's grown up way too fast. They've grown up way too fast. I think some of us olders had some things that we didn't have all the technology. We had to use our imagination a lot. But Solomon's saying, don't grow up too fast. Enjoy life. Slow down a little bit. There's plenty, he goes on in that verse, he said there's a lot of dark days ahead of you. And while you're young and things are going, go ahead and enjoy it a little bit. He's not giving you a ticket to sin, because he said, now wait a minute, hang on a minute, you enjoy life, but God's going to judge you for what you do. You know, so he brings that up at the end of that verse, but he said enjoy life and warns that there will be a judgment. Hebrews 9:27, but it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Also in Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And nowhere in the Bible we find that we can live any way we want to, and it'll be all right just because we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart. It's not in there, and it never will be. That he said, enjoy yourself, but remember, somebody's watching. Then in 12, verse 1, he says to get to know God early. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. See, now I'm gonna break you graduates and you young people's hearts right now. Life's not always exciting and wide open, and you're not always going to feel as good as you do right now. Amen? It'll hit you pretty quick. Life's not always going to be a bed of roses. There's bumps in the road. There's tough times are coming. So enjoy it while you can. He said, though, get to know God early. The days of darkness is coming. And if you don't have the Lord in your life when they come, and you're all by yourself, you're in a heap of trouble. And I don't want to have to work on it then. I like to go ahead and have it taken care of. He said to remember. Now the Creator, first of all, I want to hit, remember Him. Remember who made you. Now, this is not politically correct what I'm getting ready to say. A bunch of gases didn't stir around and blow up one day and here we are. I kind of believe in the Big Bang Theory. God spoke, bang, it happened. Amen. That's kind of the way I lean. He said, remember, first of all, we've got a Creator. We've got a God that made us. We got a God that made everything that we enjoy. We got a God. He is the God. In Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning, God. End of conversation. Amen. Amen. If we just had those few words right there, that'd be all we need to know. In the beginning, God. It's God that formed the earth. It's God that made the water. It's God that got down on His knees and formed man and breathed the breath of life into him. It's God that planted the gardens. It's God that gave us the beautiful mountains. The seas and, you know, everything we enjoy, it comes from the Maker that we serve. Praise the Lord. I've got quite a bit of faith, but I don't have near enough faith to believe in evolution. I mean, to me, really, I think creation's a lot easier to have faith in than evolution. Amen? Somebody done it rather than, well, it just so happened. The wrong Adam got the wrong way and got twisted around. Wham! My faith's a little weak in that area. See, every bit of our makeup was given from God. What you like to eat, God give it to you. He give me just a little bit too much on ribs and ham. But I enjoy it. Don't pray for Him to heal me, because I enjoy it. Not only remember Him, but remember Him in your youth. Get in early. And I'm gonna speak to you. I'm gonna take the pastor hat off for a minute and just put old Common Tim hat on. Don't let things get in your life and get involved in and get in your mind that you'll struggle with the rest of your life. Now that's some just good old common horse sense right there. And you can get involved in something in just a few minutes that you'll have to deal with the rest of your life. Little decisions and little things you partake in and could be a lifelong of consequences. Don't do it. Abstain from it. And remember, get in early. Commit to the Lord early. Commit your life to Him right now. You might say, well, preacher, I've asked the Lord to forgive me and come into my... I'm not... praise the Lord. That's the first step, is asking the Lord. That's fire insurance. That's saving us from hell. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about making a commitment. That's words the world don't like anymore. People won't commit to their families. They won't commit to their jobs. Can I just go on down the list? The word commitment has fallen by the wayside. Commit to the Lord early. Get in and make a commitment and say, Lord, that you have saved my soul and I appreciate it. Come into my heart, but I want to serve you. I want to go to the school you want me to go to. I want the job you want me to have. I want the spouse that you have got provided and picked for me. That is my goal, and I'm committing my life to you, and I'm looking to you to meet my needs and to lay everything out for me. What? Amen?
Amen.
Get in. Get a grip. And hold on. Ride's sweet. He's got a lot more in store for us than we could ever imagine or think. I mean, I set goals, and when I was young, he far exceeded anything I ever said as myself. I mean, I was happy with some stuff he gave me. Look at the wife he gave me. Give me some talents. I don't care to work. Praise the Lord for that. And then he called me to preach. What a blessing. Never had an ideal. I took it when he called me as well. He's called me. I can't get out of it. Well, I didn't know what I was getting. See, he's got sweet stuff in mind. He has got a young man or a young woman somewhere picked for you and got your name on them. And that's why it's good to remain pure. Because he got one with your name on. Boy, I'm glad mine's name was Rhonda. Boy, he put us together and he put us together good. It put a lot of gray hairs in Joanne's head, but it's been good for us. See, let him make the decisions for you. Seek him early, and you'll find him if you seek him with your whole heart. Also, remember that you'll not always be young. I told you, I don't want to be too bleak. I've got a little bit. I want to read verses 3 through 7, and if you've not studied and thought on this, you think, what in the world is this guy supposed to be the smartest man ever been talking about? In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of them that was high, and fierce shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. or the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Preacher, what in the world did you just say? What this is a picture of is getting old. And I'm starting to identify with some of them. The keepers of the house shall tremble. That's when your hands and your legs start trembling. Your keepers. The strong men bow themselves at you, that's the legs and the knees. The back weakens and you start bending and you get trembling. You get weak in your legs. The grinders cease because they're few. I got sad news for you. Your teeth's going to fall out. They get wore out after chewing the steak for all those years. Those that look out the window shall be darkened. 42, I inherited these things. Your eyesight starts getting bad. Then the doors of the street are closed off. And when the sound of grinding is low, that's when your hearing starts going. And that's that listen to loud music, it went earlier for me. The daughters of music brought low, that's also hearing. And they shall be afraid, which is high. What's the greatest fear of older folks? Of falling. We don't climb high like we used to. He shall rise up at the noise of the bird. You can't sleep as long as you used to when you get a little older. You start getting up at the crack of dawn. The almond trees shall flourish. That's a water mine's not turning gray, it's turning loose. That's a hair getting gray. The grasshopper shall be a burden, a dragging itself around at the end of the summer. You know, I told you this wasn't real exciting, real encouraging. And desire shall fail when you have a loss of appetite for things. I've talked to people, this miserable life itself, it's older. Then he says, a man shall go to his home. The pitcher, the silver cord loosed and the golden bowl being broken and the pitcher is a sign of death. Then he says, then shall the dust return to the earth and the spirit return to God who gave it. I want you to remember you're not always going to be young. That's why it's good to get in early and get a grip early and nail it down early for when the hard days come, you've got Jesus. When you have nobody else, there'll be times when everybody else will turn their back on you, that it seems like. But Jesus' friend will stick closer than any brother. He'll never leave you or forsake you. See, yea, I'll go with you even to the end of the world. I'll always be there. Amen? Remember, you'll not always be young. Also remember the words of the wise, the experienced. You get a lot of advice, but I try to look at the one's track record that's given me the advice. Now, I don't want somebody that's broke and don't have nothing to give me financial advice. Unless it's don't do what I did. Amen? I don't want somebody out of shape giving me exercising advice. Amen. Or don't do what I did. Lay off of Big Macs. I'm speaking of getting old. Let me tell you what your preacher done the other night. Right. I was up at the church and out visiting some. Rhonda said, can you go by the grocery store? And then I went to the grocery store, and then I stopped by Burger King to get us a burger. And I ordered a Big Mac at Burger King. After she quit chuckling, I said, oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Remember the words of the wise. In verse 11, it says, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Goads in this time was, they called ox goads. And they come, and the one working them or whatever he did was behind them. Jesus met him on Damascus Road. And he said, Saul, don't kick against the pricks. That's exactly what he's talking about, ox goads. And this is a piece of wood that's sharpened into a very sharp point. And if that ox kind of bows up on you out in the field, or they had them made come up under them that kicked, and if they kicked back, they'd hit them goads. Well, Jesus is saying, the harder you kick, worse it's going to hurt you. And Solomon here is using that imagery. He's saying that words of the wise are as goads, or that pricks. It'll prick your heart. It'll prick your mind. It'll touch you if you allow it. Use words of wisdom and use things and let it touch and permeate and just jab in, you might say, as an ox goad would. And get it and get a hold of it. And he also said not only that, but his nails. Now, Brother Harvey's been driving several of them here lately. And if you want something to stay, what do? If everybody else puts 20 pennies in, Gary puts screws or 30 pennies. Get something to nail it down. Something that you can hang it on. Let it nail down in your heart. Let these words just come and get a grip and fasten to the soul. And get in and get deep and let it get in and permeate in your life and change who you are. See, don't mess up early. I'm going to give you some advice. Free advice, won't cost you a dime. Don't mess up early. Because you had to live with it. Amen. Amen? Then, in verse 13, remember to fear God and keep His word. He said, let us hear the conclusion. We went through all this, and I've cut it short, and he goes through the whole book of Ecclesiastes, and he comes down to the end, and he says, all the whole matter, I've told you all of this, and all that's important is that you fear God and keep His commandments. He said, that's the best advice I can give you. Remember to fear God and keep His word. Fear God. The fear of God is almost a thing of the past. People has lost the respect for God and His house, His word, His law. Fear God. Reverence Him. Don't ever use His word loosely or in vain. The Bible said that man will not be found guiltless that use the name of the Lord in vain. Use His name respectfully. Not a cuss word or a byword. Reverence Him and love Him. Well, I tell you, He's the sweetest thing that's ever happened to me. Love Him, cherish Him, and enjoy Him. Put your faith in Him. Early on, trust in Him. Ask Him to come into your heart. Forgive you of your sins and make Him the Lord of your life. Here's one that I think that we have so many people that don't call on the Lord. Humble down before Him. We have so much pride that we don't want to humble ourselves. Humble down before the Lord. Read, memorize, and live by His book. Learn it. Get in it. Because all of these things, right at the very last of this book, for God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every decision, every action, every word, and every thought, we're going to give an account for it. That's heavy. That's for all ages. There's the white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. The white throne judgment is the judgment in Revelation chapter 20 that's for sinners. This will be their final damnation given that's never called upon the name of the Lord. It says in verse 15 of chapter 20, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." It's important that we make a decision for Christ. The most important decision we'll ever make is one of salvation. And then the judgment seat of Christ is in 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, I know I give a lot of instructions and I give a lot of things. But as we close this morning, I want to leave you with, no matter how old we are or how young we are or where we live or what we do in life, know this, and I'm one finger out and four back, that whatever we do, we're going to give an account for it. And all that's ever going to matter is that you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and ask Him to be the Savior of your soul. Without that, folks, you're in a whole heap of trouble. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day, and thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, all of Your blessings. And Father, as we